And hello and welcome back to the Talking Para podcast. And this is the review show of the game against the Panthers. And we're going to try and do one of these each and every week. And only the three of us at the moment. We may have some other guests join us soon. But at the moment, anyway, we've got Joel from League of Inches. How are you going, Joel?
Yeah, good, mate. I believe we have reached out to Ashley Klein to be one of those guests,
right. But
he has so far declined every invitation. So
Ashley Klein has declined an invitation.
I think he's going to be on Talking Penrith this week, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, okay. And listeners and viewers, that was the voice of the one Adam Martin up there. He's got a beanie on tonight, so he must be a bit cold. And investigation, obviously, what, into Mr. Ashley Klein, Adam? I'm sure you're going to tell us anyway.
Yeah, look, we'll get into that. We'll get into it. We'll go to the game and we'll talk about those decisions and stuff a bit later on. First of all, apologies to all the people out there that tune in regularly to the show. I'd call them fans, but I don't know if they're fans of us. But they tune in every week anyway. So obviously we couldn't get a show in last week. Just with everyone's commitments, it became a bit hard. I had a bit on last week, bit of work on. I know Joel was away, so we couldn't quite get there. I guess it's probably a good thing because probably everything we would have previewed and said probably didn't go the way we would have said it would anyway because we obviously lost the game. But, look, we'll get into that. Troy, we'll go to you first. You were at the game. I want not talking about the referees, not talking about – how Parramatta played. I want your experience of the Battle of the West at Penrith on Friday night.
Well, look, my experience wasn't too bad. I mean, there's always been a lot of reports about fans going to the game and being hassled and I guess bantered on by other fans and queues for bars, queues for the toilets and stuff like that. So, look, my experience wasn't too bad, although I will say that I was at Panthers before the game and we did order some dinner and we had to wait 40 minutes for that. And then they didn't bring it out to us, but we did get a free refund. We got a refund and then we got our free burger anyway. So, but that wasn't at the game.
United started off with a win. That's a promising thing.
Well, yeah, it did. But, yeah, as I said, like, as per usual, there's usually fans hassled and stuff like that. But, look, it seemed a pretty – seemed all right crowd. I mean, I was with in front of a family of Panthers supporters. They were okay. I had Panthers supporters sitting next to me. He was all right. They were all right, so – yeah, all in all, it was good. 21,500 there. They can't get much more than that in there, even though it was a sellout, apparently. So until they get their new stadium, which probably only hold 25,000. So they need a 30,000 there if they're going to get crowds like that for Penrith and Parramatta.
I just want to highlight, I think that Parramatta and Penrith, that Penrith, would never be this early in the season. Especially Penrith coming off three premierships, as we've heard about, their fans like to tell us, it should never be the first game of the year because Penrith are going to sell that game out no matter what, their first game after winning three comps. So taking Parramatta there, obviously it locked out a lot of Parramatta fans. And look, we've been there, we've been the minority before, but we've also seen that what happens, there's comments are going off already. We've seen what happens when Parramatta do get an equal chance opportunity as they turn up in big numbers. So look, anyway, let's get to the game. First of all, I'll run through, obviously, the highlights here. The comments are on fire.
Hang on. One sec. I was only one comment to bring up because it is about a panel member here. And I recognise this when I watched his vlog at the start of it. Hayden was complaining about people walking. It was a packed-out stadium. Of course people are not going to be at their seats right on time. It is the reason why, and Adam mentioned it last week, as soon as it's only hill seats at Penrith, just say no thank you.
Yeah, I'm not going.
It is an absolute nightmare.
He was on the hill too, wasn't he? Anyway, so...
yeah, and... he was complaining that people were still trying to walk to their seats while the game started. Like, what do you expect? It's the hill. You're sitting down. Like, stand up and watch the first
Did he get there early enough for New South Wales Cup? Because if he got there early enough for New South Wales Cup, he could have got the seats that are right on the front section of Penrith Stadium.
I'm more shocked that two people have watched Hayden's vlog this week, you, Joel and Andrew.
I only watched the first few minutes, and then Bob started crying. I had to get off, but, yeah.
Is that because the vlog?
I watched that bit.
Is that because the vlog was on?
My favourite vlog still was Hayden passing out. Nothing will ever be top from Hayden passing out. All right, let's quickly run through the score first of all. 26-18 to Penrith, obviously coming away with a loss there. Half-time score, Parramatta had 18-16. Look, when you look at the stats, especially the possession and obviously the territory as well, we had no right to be in that game at halftime. Absolutely everything was in Penrith's favour. It was 5-3, but we'll go a bit more to that later. They ran for 400 more metres than us, had more runs than us. They dominated us in quite a lot of ways. Around the same missed tackles, made tackles. They made more errors. That was the thing. We completed better than them. But look, there's a few more things to that game. Let's just start with it. First of all, let's talk about the Bailey Simonson, obviously, the swinging arm. I'm going to highlight this. I think if Bailey does not get injured and ruled out with HIA, there is no way Parramatta lose this game. I want to highlight that most of Penrith's tries or most of Penrith's breaks that led to tries come down that side. Now, I don't want to hear people, and the fans are obviously going to do it. They're entitled to their opinion, and I guess some people just made to be punching bags their whole career. But to blame Kelmer and to blame Harper is harsh. I think at the back end of the game before Kelmer was obviously taken off injured, we're kind of just admitting to let him run around him and try and cover that with our cover, which I think Dylan Brown did well. But I just want to highlight that anyway. That's my personal opinion. We'll go to that incident. Troy, you were there. Obviously, the Penrith fans wouldn't have thought it was going to be a sin bin. What was the reaction at the game to that one?
Well, it was probably, obviously the Para fans, they were booing and the like. The Penrith fans, they weren't too, that didn't faze them because obviously Luai didn't get 10 in the bin, which I found a bit strange because the game before, Britton Nicara, he did a high shot and he got 10 in the bin. And I think, as we've all said, I think any high shot connection to the head always gets 10 in the bin. So I'm very unsure as to why. Hello, Hayden. How you going, mate? Thank you for joining us in the comments.
I'm glad you found your seat 6 minutes in, Hayden.
Yeah, well, we're actually 7 minutes in at the moment, Adam, so it's taking me a bit longer. But, so there was probably, as I said, booing from the Para fans and the Penrith fans. They were didn't worry them too much. So I just think he should have got 10 in the bin. And, look, it did change the game, obviously, as you said.
Yeah, look, I just want to highlight my understanding of the rule is that if a player is unlikely, it was changed after Tedesco fell into Murata Neokora's arm back before, obviously, that magic round incident. And the rule was changed that if a player is unlikely to return from a HIA, then the player should be sin binned. Now, saying that, talking about that Cronulla one, I thought the Cronulla one was very unlucky to not be a send-off. There was no attempt to wrap the arm. It was a shoulder, direct shoulder to the head. So that should have been a send-off. We saw that sin bin. Joel, I'll ask you the question. If that was at Parramatta Stadium, does Luai go to the bin?
100%. And it's been happening all weekend, and this is what the thing is pissing me right off, is that it seems more than ever home ground advantage is huge in this game, and there is literally zero consistency already in the rules. And I have a feeling that, again, they've changed some things in the off-season. It's just getting way too much now. Like, the ball planning stuff is confusing everyone. These hits to the head and stuff, like, it was direct contact to the head. We lost a player because of it. It's a sin bin at minimum. Like, I don't know what is going on, but how can you lose a player for the rest of the game and keep your player on the field? And then we'll obviously get to the tripping incident as well.
We'll just go to it now because it's the next on the chat list anyway.
It's just unbelievable. I really don't understand how the guy stays on the field apart from the fact that, and Penrith fans will hate it, they'll come in all guns blazing, apart from the fact it's Penrith, they appear to be a protected species right now at the moment, and they could not do anything wrong on the weekend. And it actually made me sick. To sit there and watch a game that could have been billed as one of the best games of the year, to see that get destroyed, because the start of the game was fantastic. To be honest, both sides are going at it. It was finals-type football already at round two. It was a really good spectacle, and it was just ruined. Like, it wouldn't have been ruined as much as if Luai did go to the sin bin. We did lose Simonson, fair enough, but it just hurt us overall. And, like, I know you want to mention the fact that you can't blame Harper or Tuolungi. They're just doing their job, which is fair enough. But for mine, there's a bit of blame there on BA with his sort of tactics there, because I feel like you've got to adjust a bit more on the run. Like, Penrith, like, let's be honest, Penrith are just running down that side at will, making either breaks or tries at will. And they're obviously, that's not their preferred positions, both of them. That's a very weak side, and Penrith did well to exploit that. But we have to be better as a side, and Bia has to make better decisions on the run to prevent that. Otherwise, if that happens again, and it's very likely to happen these days with the HIA, we're just going to continue to get owned in that department. We've got to find players who are better at doing that. Like Hands, for mine, was a much better option to come on at, say, 5'8". Dylan Brown goes out to centre. Mm-hmm. There's a bit more speed on that side of the field, and away we go, it's covered. Brendan Hands should not have been picked. He literally just sits on the bench. Brad Arthur hasn't lied there. He's stuck with his 80-minute bloody hooker thingy that he said at the preseason.
77
There's
minutes.
No point in 77, but it just felt like there was better options to do, which people sitting on the couch could see, but the guy in the middle, our main head coach, couldn't make. Like, you can't sit there and do that.
I'll stop you there. Just want to put the announcement out there. For those who had Joel to mention BA's fault or something for under 10 minutes, congratulations, message the page. We'll organise your prize. But you're right. I didn't want to go to this yet, but we've gone to it. You've covered off 3 points in one. Quickly, I'll have my say before we get to the BA decision. On the Luai incident, the tripping. Tripping used to be a send-off back in the day.
It's changed now, bud, hasn't it?
It's changed. It's changed because there was so much when people were getting beat on the outside and throwing their leg out in the motion at throwing their hand out at the same time. This was completely different. It was actually, if you want to talk about it in a soccer term, it was kind of a studs-up challenge. He actually hit him with the studs, and I saw a funny comment on Mitchell Moses's mouthguard post he put up the next day, not the one I put up, but he put it. Someone put another comment on there and said, do they do shin pads as well to protect from players trying to trip you? And it's honestly what he needed. Like, Mitch is very lucky on the run. He readjusts that and didn't actually seriously hurt his ankle.
Can I ask you, did you guys see the Regan Campbell-Gillard foot out trip incident?
I haven't. I've seen still pictures of it. And I want to highlight with that one, it's what I just mentioned. There was a hand as well, and it was a motion of being beat by an attacker and throwing your body out at it. There's a big difference between the two. Okay, it happens. Like, if you move your body across, especially by he was beaten by a zippy winger, and he's a front rower. I'm saying this as someone who's played in the forwards. Your whole body isn't going to move at the same time, especially he's a lot older. Like, obviously played a lot more minutes, hard minutes. Like, wingers just hang out with footballers; they're not actually footballers. So they're not doing the tough yards, that's for sure. But look. Let's get on to, I've obviously touched on the Lua thing. There's a lot more points we're going to get to. I want to get to the BA one. I don't think we need to bring Hands on to 5'8". I just think we needed to shift Dylan Brown to the centres. It's as simple as that. We didn't need to, like, defensively, you could have had Kelmer inside of him because it probably took about 3 or 4 minutes after, it was the try they bombed, I believe it was, after obviously, you know, you saw Kelmer get exposed, try, like, beaten by speed. On the outside there by obviously a very fast centre. It's got to be expected. So we had the option, we could have put Madison there. Look, Madison's body seems to be conditioned to play front row these days. I know he went to the second row in the end, but he's probably going to get turned around the centres as well. So simple change would have been bring Kelmer on, that's fine, play him in the centres attacking, but shift Dylan to the centres in defence.
Yeah,
it's not rocket science. I don't know what Brad was thinking, but I think Brad needs to, as Joel loves to say, swallow his pride sometime. Because he does. He makes these decisions and he sticks with them. Then everyone else can see there's something really fucking obvious is going to cost us a game. And no offence to Kelmer or Harper, but that decision to put him in the centres did cost us the game. Because I don't think they score a point in that first half if we don't get the injury. Obviously, we've got to be able to readjust some things. And like it opens the question to why he is putting Hands on the bench. I touched on this obviously last week. We know Brad wanted an 80-minute hooker, and it seems like he's just kind of sticking with that now, sticking with the 80-minute hooker and kind of pushing. As Troy said, 77-minute hooker. Nicholas has just brought it up. I believe Arcee at this stage is probably a better 14 because we seem to be getting these injuries through the game in the backs. So if we had Arcee on the bench, he goes straight to centres, no problem. We don't lose that game the way we did. Obviously, there's things we can readjust. Arcee's quite capable of going to fullback if he needs to. Gutho can go to hooker. I know that it probably won't have as much of an effect this year. I know, obviously, taking your fullback and the work Gutho does, but it won't have much of an effect this year because our backline moves appear to have Gutho playing less of a role. So it's something he needs to consider. I just think Hands is wasted. And the problem with Hands being wasted and playing those minutes is if something does happen to Joey Lussick, you know, he does fail a HIA 5 to 10 minutes into the game, Hands' match fitness is going to be absolutely fucking shot. It's as simple as that. He's not going to be able to do it. Hands is probably better off playing a couple of weeks in New South Wales Cup, playing 80 minutes in case that happens, and give someone like Matt Arthur a run, you know, obviously make the upgrades get. Give Matt Arthur that 5, 10 minutes in the game, knowing that he's young, and if he doesn't get the minutes, then he's there. It's, yeah, it's just stupid. Like I said, it's like an origin tactic in a way where you see that 14th man nick got the minutes. So, Troy, you got any comments on that?
Yeah, I was just looking at the comments there. Chris Woodford has said, should the 18th man be activated from one failed HIA instead of two? Well, I think the way that the game's going these days, yeah, definitely it should be activated. I mean, they're all conscious about, you know, brain injuries and head injuries and whatever. So, yeah, why not do that to one? And then that could have been an easy fix as well. But
let's say originally it was three when they first brought the rule out. But if Luai goes to the sin bin that for that, we can automatically activate an 18th man anyway.
Yeah, so that was Luca Moretti, I think, on the weekend. So, yeah, obviously there would have been some shifting there. I mean, you probably, I don't know where he would have went. Obviously, he would have went forwards and then...
it's a simple one, yeah. It seemed like the reason that he didn't put Madison into the centres was he had his planned forward rotations based around Madison, Joachim Gallipoulos, and RCG. So his system was rough. You've got 2 second rowers there that can easily play 80 minutes, in his opinion. So he obviously put Kelmer there knowing he could do that. If he put Madison there, he completely thrown off his forward rotation. So, as you said, look, if he went to the bin or if it was his one for the 18th man to come in, which it is in the local competition here, only one failed HIA for the 18th man to come in, then, yeah, it's the same for the AFL too, I believe, isn't it? AFL's concussion protocol. They can have a sub, they can swap it out. I know you're not that big a fan of it, but we need to get with the times there, I think, a bit as well, so...
Yeah, it should be any failed HIA, but yeah, no, completely agree. I think yeah, shift Dylan to centre, bring Hands on at 5'8", and they can just play that roving role in attack and defence, and probably don't lose as much, I don't think. But yeah, he's obviously got to look at that and know that he got it wrong then, and go back to the drawing board if it happens again to have another plan.
All right, let's go downtown now, guys. We're going to go to the downtown rule. Now,
downtown.
I knew you were going to sing it because I was going to, but I was just letting you sing it. Look, first of all, I want to highlight that earlier in the game, I put it in our chat. I think it was a League of Inches chat, actually, Joel. They were getting away with downtown's Luai, that left edge of Penrith. We're getting away with downtowns for the majority of the first half for their long kicks. There was criticism of Parramatta last year. Apparently, they were one of the teams that were doing it the most. And the question was asked to Brad Arthur, and he actually answered the press conference and said that we've adapted to it well and we're not getting penalised for it because we're not doing it. Now, I'll just answer Chris's question, Joel, if you bring that up so I can... So the downtown rule, this is where people are getting confused, and I'm kind of lucky the beneficiary here. I've got a mate who's a referee in a local comp and referee some ref football, and he sent me through a downtown that happened a couple of weeks ago that he did and was ruled wrong. But people don't realise that the downtown rule is no player can be in front of where the play the ball is when the ball is kicked, so where that play the ball was originally. Okay, unless the kicker is obviously in front of it as well, just to highlight that. Now, that means the person playing the ball cannot walk forward. They have to stay where the play of the ball is until the person kicking the ball runs in front of it. So that makes sense to everyone, because you look at that one that obviously led to Penrith's first try to Edwards. Isaiah Yeo played the ball. He walked forward. Now, Penrith fans and some other fans are trying to state that he was simply trying to get through the line to get out of the way. It doesn't matter. Okay. If they ran a play and he's in the line, obviously it's a penalty, but he's broken another all here by downtown. If he got through the line and Panther ran a play left or they ran a play back to the right, he's done the right thing. But the fact they've kicked the ball, him being the play of the ball, it is a simple downtown rule. And it was not even checked. And it wasn't even, I guess we didn't kind of argue it either. But I guess when it's a new rule and they're something they're focused on, and we saw so much of it in the trials, the fact that apparently your number one referee, and he is ranked as the number one referee, I still believe, he had all the origins last year, didn't he? Did he have the grand final? I can't remember. Or did someone else get it?
No, I think he did.
You have it?
Yeah.
I can't remember that. I can't remember that far back. It's lots happened since then. But, yeah, look, he's meant to be the number one referee and he's missing something that they've been told to concentrate on in the offseason. Something they've learned in the offseason. So it's like you going to work and learning something new that is your main focus that they've added to your job and you getting it wrong. I know if I do that in my job, I'm getting warnings, I'm getting fired if I keep doing it. But this bloke continues seems to get away with it. That's right, he did. I knew that actually didn't get it because he fucked up in one of the other games. Here he is this year continuing to fuck up. I'm disappointed as well because I came out in the League of Inches podcast last week to Joel and I spoke about how good the refereeing was the first week. And the refereeing has just been absolutely shithouse across all games, I think, this week. They've just
It was funny how last week everyone was complaining about Atkins being our referee and we won the game. And obviously this week everyone's whinging about Ashley Klein and we lost the game. So I don't think Parramatta fans want any referees to referee the game because they don't like any of them.
I'll take any of the younger ones. Like, it's like people used to sit there and complain about Henry Perinara. I thought Henry Perinara was a terrible referee when it came to there's two referees on the field. As soon as it went to one referee, he was awesome. And these blokes have gone the opposite. They were ranked number one and two when there was two referees on the field. As soon as they've had to referee a game by themselves, they're simply missing so much stuff or relying on the bunker to step in. And I don't know how it's gone so unnoticed. You've got Ashley Klein born 40 minutes from the foot of the mountain. You've got Grant Atkins, who's a life member of the Penrith Panthers referees and all this kind of stuff. Like, how are they constantly getting their games? Like, you don't want to – I don't want to go on a rant because I know Joel's got something to say about this downtown rule. But the you got nothing? I've explained it well. Yep, all right, good.
It's just another rule that I don't want to talk about because it's just one that wasn't officiated properly once again.
So. 100%, yeah. So this is where I'm going with this, okay? I don't want to start this conspiracies and all this kind of shit, but a Penrith home game after they've won three comps in a row, and Penrith fans, there's probably Penrith fans sitting here watching tonight. We've got a shitload of viewers tonight. Everyone's fired up about it. They're probably, yeah, join this in the comments, Penrith fans. I'd love to talk to you. Instead of bagging me out on Twitter. But jump on because they're going to call us whingers. They're going to complain that we're complaining. Mate, they got one fucking thing go against him in the the World Club Challenge. And they carried on like absolute pork chops. And the reason they carried on like pork chops is because they're entitled pricks out there at the foot of the mouth. And no offense, Troy.
Yeah, I live and out here.
The simple fact is they have had every single thing go their way for the last 3 years, but they're used to it. So when things don't go their way, they whinge. This is what it's like. Like, we're sitting here now. You go to the NRL Facebook after the game or NRL Twitter, whatever you want to look at. You've had so many fans of pretty much 16 other teams, 15 other teams, obviously, besides Parramatta, sitting there saying, I don't support Parramatta, but Parramatta robbed. Now, there's videos out there of all the things he fucked up. And the fact they don't see it and they're so smug and they say, oh, we won three comps in a row, we're the greatest ever. I can't fucking wait till we play Penrith at Parramatta later in the year because if we're playing the way we are, I think we'll kill them. It's as simple as that.
Break the ground record.
Yeah, well, it requires everyone member to turn up, but if not, they'll probably just lie out the crowd anyway.
You know one thing I do want to see the club do, and it looked like BA was on the verge of doing it in the press conference. It was the most animated I've ever seen him get about a referee, and he was very, very mild considering. I actually know, like, the minute the club makes, that is not an issue. I would love them to just say, next week, no matter what happens, whether we win the game, lose the game, whatever, just come out and absolutely rip and tear on the referees because this has been happening for years now. And every time a club coach goes in on the referees, they cop the 10K fine. But watch and go back and see what happens. The next few weeks, the referees do not penalise them for nothing.
And you're right.
I just want Brad Arthur to come out, just absolutely rip the shit out of these blokes. And I bet you for a fact we'll go on a winning streak of about four games at least for the next month of football.
Is he too nice? Is Brad just because, like, that was
the club. That was the club telling him don't get the 10K because they're fucking cheap.
Mate, the fans and members will pay the 10 grand. They're chucking a dollar
that's
each.
That's what I mean.
Chucking a dollar each and do a GoFundMe page and they'll fund it. But
I'm pretty sure the members of Parramatta that go to the Leagues Club before the game and play the pokies and raise that 10K pretty quickly. Just putting that out there. But that, before Troy goes on it, that was a Brad Arthur blow-up. That was as close to a blow-up as Brad will get, which means he felt cheated. It's as simple as that. And obviously, it made headlines. He called it out. He did the right thing. He didn't obviously push it to the point he was fined.
Even Gutho was pissed.
You could tell. You could tell that.
I don't even know why they take captains to the press conference anyway.
I feel bad.
I wouldn't have turned up.
I want to see if I can get
them, I would have made a statement and not turned up to it. I would have again, no, you can go get fucked.
Then they would have got fined.
But the thing is, look, I know you're saying he hasn't got fined, hasn't, but it's made headlines, Joel. So hopefully they're a bit aware of this. But the problem with Parramatta is when we've had coaches in the past that have called stuff out, they've turned around and they've started anything that we got penalised for, didn't get penalised, like, you know, they went against us. As soon as we do those things next week, they'll penalise us for. That seems to be the Parramatta way. But let's get on to some of the other points from the match. We've obviously touched on the swing and armour downtown, the sin bin for the trip. I want to talk about the captain's challenge, Parramatta's captain challenge. Now, what was ruled, what was sent up, was that Gutho had knocked the ball on. The referee had stated Gutho had knocked the ball on, Parramatta challenging that decision. When they sent the challenge up, they ruled it was inconclusive that Will Pennicini didn't knock the ball on. Now, Gutho clearly didn't pick the ball up. He had bright pink boots on. You could clearly see they hit his bright pink boots. They didn't hit his hands. Yet they turned around and challenged it and said that now they can't rule on a decision that was already ruled backwards. What I don't get in that situation, they said it's inconclusive evidence to overturn it, but you just said something the referee has cleared you can't rule on, so shouldn't that have gone in our favour?
Yeah, sure.
Joel, you watched it? Thoughts? Am I right?
I just don't want to talk about the refs anymore. I'm over it. keep talking and I'll come back in when it's talking about the players or something because
I'll get us
taken off the air if I keep going.
No, I want a 10K blow up. They can't find us 10K.
Well, Paul Kuma is already going to donate $100. So I don't know if he's going to donate that to the Talking Para podcast fine or BA's fine. But yeah, look.
I honestly, the captain's challenges for mine are stupid because they go up and it's the same as referees and they put their tries up and they make their decisions when they actually have no idea what's going on. They're going to find whatever way they can to go with the referee's decision to make them look good, whether it's pretty much blatantly wrong or not. They're going to do whatever they can. They're going to look at it 50 million times to find a way to make sure the referee looks good on the day. It's very, very rare that they go against the referee and make them look like they've got egg on their faces in the middle of a game and they've got 20,000 people at the ground watching. So
let's move on then because there's another one. It's the one where it was sent up as no try, which was reviewed. We knew it wasn't no try. And Will Pennicini was ruled to have tackled. I'm just highlighting now. You don't even have to comment. I'm highlighting the referee's fuck-ups. Will Pennicini was claimed to tackle Jerome in the air, not making a genuine attempt to catch the ball. John, I'll blow up if you pay me 10K. I'm just putting that out there. If you pay me 10K, I will personally run into the next press conference so I can somehow get into, probably at Canberra. I reckon the security won't be that great down there. And I will run in and blow up for you if you're going to pay 10K. But yeah, you can still have the fine. I'll have the 10K.
Needs the money first.
Yeah. So obviously, look, I'll highlight these quickly and then we'll move on to the actual game and our player reviews and all that kind of shit. But Moses was taken out. Moses was taken out. He was escorted. It was clear as day to everyone and they didn't even check it. Now, okay, I get it. Referees can make mistakes. We've learnt that. We've learnt that as Para fans. We've learnt that as rugby league fans. You see it all the time. They're human. But the fact we're going up to the bunker to check something and it's quite clear that he gets escorted out of play and it's not checked, it opens those conspiracy theories. The Kelmer being injured down. Look, obviously play should have been stopped because it was in the ruck. The fact it wasn't stopped and they scored off the next play makes it seem a bit worse. If they got tackled, he might have stopped it. I know the trainer wasn't out there. I guess as fans, we want consistency and we've seen so many that trainer gets out. It's kind of a race of how quick your trainer is. You know, the NRL needs to start hiring sprinters as trainers because if they get out there quicker, there are a chance of stopping the play. There's that one, Edwards rubbish on the face, as we like to call it, Cameron Smith, that the penalty goes against Joey Vlasic for a push when we could see that. There's so many. Obviously, the Russell drop ball come through speaking. Brad Arthur mentioned that one in the press conference. They're just rules that were blatantly missed. Let's get back into it because, like I said, we're going to talk about referees all day. You never like to blame referees for a loss because sometimes you can turn around.
It's a tough job.
So, hang on, Andrew. Can you bring Andrew's comment up? Because I'm calling Andrew out here. Andrew, you're right. Now, you're 100% right, Andrew. Will did tackle him there. It was a brain snap. But the incident of Moses getting taken out first happened first, so that's what should have been penalised. You can't say Will might never have tackled Jerome in the air because if Moses didn't get taken out, Moses may have been a chance to get the ball before any of that happened. So that's why, obviously, the incident that happened first has to be a penalty. Anyway, 26-18, as I said. I'll go to you, Joel. You watch it at home. Who do you reckon Parramatta's best was on the night? I think it's pretty obvious to me.
To be honest, Hayden stole my thunder. I actually thought Gutho was fantastic with the way he played. He was everywhere. I just keep saying I feel like week in, week out, without him, I don't know where we would be as a team, as a club. I think he's just become our inspiration on and off the field with the way he plays. A lot of people, I saw bagging him, and this is obviously not really Parra fans, but the way he and Moses always complain about the rest and that. But honestly, the decisions that they're going against him, no wonder we're not getting anything. They've got to start voicing up and saying things. I'd rather him be in the ref's ear and making him aware of his fuck-ups, because there is plenty of them at the moment. And if they weren't, they'd be doing a disservice to the club by their roles. That he's the captain. He has every right to go up to the referee and question it. Isaiah Yeo was doing exactly the same thing on Friday night, and no one said boo about it. He would question literally everything. So he's not just the only one. I just think Gutho, the fitness level he has is actually ridiculous. Like, I don't know how he continues to get up, talk. He doesn't shut up. Every time the TV camera pans on him, he's talking, he's yelling at the boys, and he'd be clearly absolutely buggered. So how he does what he does, I've got no idea.
Does it remind you of your missus, Joel, just talking and yelling at you?
And never shuts
yeah,
up.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, it's our anniversary today, tonight, and I've decided to be on three podcasts, so it's fantastic. I've been the good books.
All right, you've already got a baby. You don't want another one. All right, Troy, your man of the match?
Yeah, look, I mean, but you're right, Joel. If you stand behind the post and watch Gutho play, you can see him directing traffic all the time and constantly yelling and to his teammates where the defence should be. But, look, I think Dylan Brown, again, he had a pretty solid game. Obviously, his passing game was on song on Friday night, those two passes that he threw to Lane, and also Hopgood as well to score tries. Obviously highlighted his game. Gutho as well. Moses was very quiet, I thought, but we all know why. He's probably still carrying that, well, he is, he's carrying that groin injury, so he did what he needed to do, and probably, Jermaine Hopgood again was solid as well.
Yeah, wonderful. Keep your comments coming in, guys. As I said, this is probably one of our most popular podcasts ever. We knew it would go off. Sunday night last week wasn't actually that popular, but this one, obviously, the fire's burning. We're all trying to get over that loss, and we can't. So keep them coming in. We'll go to, obviously, we want to hear your player of the match, and obviously we're going to put in some predictions later for what we do with our back line that needs a bit of a reshuffle. But, Troy, you stole mine. I thought Dylan Brown was incredible. I feel the reason Dylan Brown was incredible was, first of all, the Lane combination was back, which we know was so big for us in 2022. Lane was hitting those perfect lines, and you kind of didn't know when he was going to go to Lane or when he was going to run the ball himself and vice versa. The early ball to Lane, I know it didn't come off all the time, but to get the hand free had a lot of potential as well. Like I said, obviously on that side with a reshuffled back line as well. But Dylan, he seemed to pick his moments well, when to run the ball, when to pass the ball, but also defensively. Like, he's on a reshuffled sideline. And if you watch the game back, he knew when Kelmer was going to get beat, and he was constantly tracking back to try and get there. If you watch when, I believe it was, what's their winger's number two's name? Penrith winger, fucking that scored the try.
Taruva.
Yeah, Taruva. Like, you know, when obviously they scrambled there, some of the players made poor defensive decisions. We'll say that much. They had a strip for numbers, but Guth almost gets there. If you watch what happens as he puts the ball down, Dylan's the next one there. The amount of meters that Dylan has covered to get there, it's his effort on effort, and that's the kind of defensive players are expecting from him. So the amount of defence he did, the fact he could still have the ability to be involved attacking, it was huge for me. Look, I think Mitch may have still been struggling a little bit with the injury. He didn't seem at 100%. And I guess we've been begging for Dylan to step up, and he has. Thanks, Nintendo. Great comment. We'll touch on the Lomax situation a bit later. Moment of the game, Joel? Yeah, I just read that one as well. That's why I can't read
it. sorry, what did you say? Play of the
moment.
Match.
Moment, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Joey Lussick, I just thought as a whole, I was really actually going to eat my words. I was actually quite impressed.
Hang on.
That was your moment of the game after 2 minutes.
Go back. Can we go back? Can you say that one more time for those fans that have obviously heard you bagging out Joey Lussick all last year?
My words and say I was very, very impressed with Joey Lussick. I thought he was fantastic, actually. Had a great game. It was credit to him. A huge credit to Joey Lussick, who was very, very good.
Sorry, I couldn't hear it again. I couldn't hear it again. It was doing things for me. Hayden's stolen mine.
Well, yeah, mine as well.
Okay, good. Well, that means only one of us has to speak about it. I love seeing a player score against their team, especially one that they didn't really give a chance to, even though he was absolutely killing it in their lower grades. Obviously got their player of the year in the New South Wales Cup team and they won that comp and stuff. So always good to see. Great ball by Dylan as well to lead to that.
Peter's brought up a good point there as well. Junior was good again off the bench as well. So I think that with him starting on the bench has obviously worked for the first two rounds. I think he played about 53 minutes, I think. And we're not losing that impact like we have seen previously. And just to that Hopgood try, I think, in previous seasons, you probably would have thought that Parramatta probably would have slipped away and Penrith would have went into the halftime break in the lead, but they never gave up. So, and then they got that try and went into halftime in the lead. So that was a bit of a moment.
Yeah. I want to highlight the junior thing. We've all called for it for a while, but I actually want to give Joe Opengowie a bit of a rap because I haven't been the biggest fan. I wasn't the biggest fan of his signing. And I don't want to sound like Joel here, but I feel like it was a desperation signing at the time because we obviously had those injuries and the suspensions to RCG and Origin. We kind of didn't have another front row to name and he was available. So we signed him. He comes straight in and lasted 10 minutes. But I still want to see Wiramu take that spot because I feel like Wiramu is a bit more like with Junior Paulo. So hopefully with obviously Kelmer's going to be out with, I think it was a broke. I don't know what injury ended up. Does anyone know what injury ended up?
Shoulder, I think.
Scared shoulder, okay.
Four to 6 weeks maybe.
Okay, so obviously there's no major damage with the dislocation. It's just slipped out, but for the 4-6. So Wiramu comes back this week. Hopefully he starts and we see Joe play that kind of second row coverage role because I know our second rowers can play 80 minutes, but always good to have a fresh second rower on, that's for sure. Madison seems to be playing a bit more lock and front row to give obviously, my BFF Wiramu, absolute Beffles, love the bloke. We didn't do any bold predictions last week at all because we didn't do a podcast, so 0 points scored for all. If we did, I was gonna say Joey Lussick first. I was gonna say Joey Lussick first try scorer for sure.
Well, you're a lookalike, yeah. I could see that. Yeah,
100%. Got to look after him. Look, let's get to this week. I know we'll obviously do our preview show after team list, but forced into injuries. Bailey's obviously gonna be ruled out. Was it a cat two or a cat one? Because if it's a cat two, he can pass the protocols. It's a 9-day turnaround. If it's a cat one, he's obviously automatically ruled out for 11 days. Does anyone know what it was?
I think it's automatic. I think it's automatic.
That just highlights even more of a joke that a bloke misses 78 minutes of a football game and a game the week after and a guy escapes without suspension.
There's dead set people, and it's been on the League of Interest page as well, they've been commenting stuff saying that it wasn't a swinging arm, it was accidental conduct, blah, blah, blah. Like, Brett Arthur came out and said, Bailey has actually no idea what the hell happened. So
forgot the whole game.
Honestly, like, guys, the guy was dead set, knocked out, has no idea where he was, what happened or whatever. Pull your head out of your own asses and just fucking put your hand up and go, we got it wrong. Because Luai's a dead set grub. He had his closed fist. Afterwards, it came up on the big screen, the replay of it. He was laughing there with To'o about it. So he knew exactly what he did. He's just an absolute grub. He's a cat. No wonder he sticks with Penrith and the Tigers. That's what he is. And just honestly, the quicker you're out of the game, the
better.
He's
a big cat too. A big cat.
Honestly, he's just how Penrith supporters can sit there and stick up for him, I'll never know. He's an absolute I won't say anything else, but yeah, he is. Is that
he? I comment on a Penrith Panthers on the page when he put away with it on the actual Panthers page, and said, "You guys will hate this as much as every fucking one else does next year when he's at the Tigers." It's as simple as that.
Yeah,
because I realise what a Gronk he is.
Well, when I see him drive around Penrith here with his own last name on his number plate, I'll say, "Joel says hi."
Joel, yeah, please do. Tell him to call me.
Yeah, get him on the podcast, Joel, for sure. yeah, you've thrown me off, Joel. You've been wanting to blow up for ages, and we've both called out Penrith fans now. Troy's not dumb enough to call out Penrith fans because he lives in the Rift.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's probably a safe
bet. They won't come up to the Gold Coast.
Oh, they can't afford to come to the Gold Coast, can they? It's a low-class area.
That I'd travel much.
Sorry, that was too far. No, it wasn't. But you're right. Like, as a close fist, like I said, I don't want to hear this he was falling stuff, because 90% of the one time Tedesco's been hit, he's been falling into a tackle, and that's what changed the rules of the game. It's as simple as that. Anyway, moving on. This week's game, Kelmer's out, Bailey's out. What's the Parramatta backline look like, Troy?
Well, it's going to be very interesting, isn't it? Mike is obviously still suspended for this game as well. Obviously,
good.
Morgan Harper will probably keep his spot. A quick, easy fix would probably just be Hayes Dunster come on the wing, I think.
Yeah, look, it's probably going to be the most sensible option to come in. I don't think you drop Morgan based on that performance, because, like I said, it's harsh to blame him playing on the wingers. And there's a big difference between being a centre and a winger, especially in the modern game. But
bring it. Organise it, no limit.
Make it happen.
George Rose, if you're watching, listening.
But I think there's always that bounce back as well when you're playing your old team. And I think Harper will be out to obviously prove a point against Manly. Hayes is the simple solution to come in. For those who've been watching, you got a different one going. I'm not going to say Blaze. Are you going to say Blaze? No. Go on, who no. you got?
So I feel for Morgan Harper, because he obviously really struggled on the wing. But I feel like, as you said, playing Manly, whenever you verse your old club, just you go to another level and you just play better. So I definitely have him in the side. I'd actually have him back on the wing. I actually would like to see Arcee play centre. I would like to see Dejan Arcee play that bit more of an attacking sort of player. He's there. He's got some speed about him as well, and he's part of the team then. If he's not included as the 14, because ideally I'd like to see him in that 14 position, I'd actually have him in the centres.
All right, I get it.
Is it too risky to risk a debutant?
He's played there before. He's played a debutant, like a debutant in the centres. You mean Blaze, or you mean?
Well, yeah, Blaze. Is it too risky to put him on the wing?
I don't know. Like, you got to look at what they're lining up against. And I watched the Manly game a lot more closely than I usually would today. And Manly seemed to attack their left side quite a bit. So their left side obviously attacked. Their right side, I believe, is Garrick. And who was their right side winger?
Hang on, Adam. Hang on.
Don't go there. I was about to say it. Dear God, if you give us Lumi Lumi, I swear to God, I won't go to the game. No, anyone but Lumi Lumi, please. Don't do it to us.
I think it could be Tommy Talau, possibly.
Now, Tommy Talau was on. It's Paulo.
Okay, on the other wing.
Because Talau was on the left hand side. So obviously, their right hand side is going to be attacking what will be our weakened left hand side. And it's probably a good thing, because with them predominantly attacking their left side, which is a bit weird.
Talau's left. Talau's left.
Yeah, I'm talking about the right. So Paulo. That was Paulo and Garrick on the right. So our left defensive side is going to struggle. It's going to be the reshuffle one. But Talau's out anyway. So, yeah, it doesn't matter anyway about that. But that was our right side. And our right side of Will Pennicini and Sean Russell, I thought, did an excellent job against Spender. They kept May pretty quiet. Toho very quiet, besides obviously his usual run meters. So, like I said, I'd be going – I just can't put Harper on the wing. I'm sorry, Joel. I can't do it. He looks so lost out there. Didn't look comfortable under a high ball. But if you've got a winger available, you bring in Dunster. But the thing that concerns me then is Dunster, who hasn't played a lot of football, with Harper, who's not exactly a strong centre. Just pray to the Parramatta and the football gods that somehow Zach Lomax goes and punches someone from St. George in the head tonight. If you're listening, Zach, and you want a release, honestly, just go punch one of your own players in the head and get released or something. Just
it's all good. I'll go. Joel, I'll go up quickly to Sunny Coast.
Yeah, he's up your way. Yeah. Can you just...
I highlighted
this at the start of the year, though, and now I'm not surprised at all. Depth in our backline has been a huge concern for me since the start of this preseason.
Oh, you're right.
And straight away, it's round two, and we've already got massive issues with it. Like,
but the thing is, it's not great
because Hayes Dunster last year was a passenger. If we're being honest, he just wasn't there.
He came off a major injury. Like,
Last two games in New South Wales Cup, and
but
I've watched him and stuff.
If we keep on
saying
that he's no good, then how's he ever going to get a shot?
But why are we putting someone who's not even playing well in New South Wales Cup? Why are we promoting them?
Sometimes it's a team as well.
What's that?
Yeah, but you have to.
Because
you've got no other
options.
What options do you have?
That's what he's highlighting. We have no other options. Look, I want to highlight too. We've lost Richard Pennicini for the season. We've lost Arthur Mill-Stevens for the season. I think Arthur would have been the first one in. I think he probably would have come in before Morgan Harper, to be honest. And hopefully he can come back from that injury with a good team next year.
Who replaces Kelmer?
Greg.
Is he back this week?
Did he play this week in New South Wales Cup?
I think he played New South Wales Cup, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be an easy fix.
Yeah. But I'm going to throw this one out here. I know people say don't change around your back line, don't do it, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe Moretti. Maybe Moretti will come in. You've got too many front rowers.
Yeah, well.
Well, Moretti was 18th man.
Often Gowie can also simply shift to the second row.
Yeah, I think he's bulked up a bit too much, though. Yeah, I'd rather have Moretti a bit more. Moretti was so good last year. I'd love to see him back in this team. I think he deserves a bit more time.
Okay. Fair enough. That's your thoughts. I like Moretti as well. I think he's got a good future. But I'm gonna throw this one out. Yeah. Given we're playing a Manly team, it's going to be a cracker game there on Sunday. If you haven't got your tickets, I'll be getting them quickly because there's no doubt it'll be another sellout in a Sunday arvo at Combank.
Here we go.
Manly
again.
2-2 and Parramatta 1.5. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Matt Nable. is that it? Matt Nable? Is it Matt Nable? Matt Nable? Yeah. Whatever his name is.
That's what?
Yeah. You, the way you're talking. Anyway, Trey, shut the fuck up. I'm trying to get it out. He just came talking. We're obviously been looking for this X Factor player. Do you risk, don't say it, Matt? I know you're going to say it. Do you look at moving Guffo to the centres and potentially either putting Arcee at fullback or Talangi at fullback? You can't debut Talangi in the centres, in my opinion. Nothing, Joel. You don't want that?
You can't. You cannot move Guffo. He's been our player of the match, arguably, the last two games.
Well, if we've got such high rate on Blaze, why the fuck are we playing New South Wales Cup at fullback then?
Who has such high? I don't have massive raps on Blaze so far from what I've seen this year.
He's struggled
He's struggled, 100%. But why are we playing him at fullback? That's what I mean.
I don't know.
If there's no chance of ever being a fullback, why are we not getting him ready as a winger? Because it's pretty obvious, like, we need wingers or centres as our depth. We're obviously trying to sign a winger center. So, look, obviously you can say he hasn't done too much yet, but we need to we've got a spot available, I believe, don't we, for our top 30 squads. So any player can be easily upgraded in that
regard.
We've
got two, don't we?
So this development stuff doesn't matter.
We're actively looking at the market. We just can't. I'm pretty certain we are dead set after Lomax. It's just about trying to work out when.
100%. So I was going to touch on Josh. Blaze's top five in PCM. Do anyone know what PCM is? What's that?
Post contact meters.
Post contact. Yeah. Yep.
Come on, mate. Sorry, you're on a rugby league podcast. Come on.
It's a Sunday night.
And you're on a League of Inches podcast. Come on.
Yeah, I know. And top 10 in meters in cups. So he's obviously doing enough right. Like I said, we don't have to say he's done wonderful things. The fact that clubs taken him from Jersey Flag last year, from SG Ball into Jersey Flag, into winning into a New South Wales Cup team. Yeah, we can't mention that name, but thanks for the comment, Matt. We don't want to get taken off here. Yeah.
You can mention that name.
You can mention him. What is with that? Why does people go weird about it?
I'll go put me old Hayne jersey on, see if people like it. They're trying to strip a fucking thing off him. Bring back Michael James. I saw Michael James floating around.
We're going to the All-Star training trial at the Roosters.
No, he's obviously not in a training trial anymore. He's playing New South Wales Cup. He's obviously got a New South Wales contract or a development contract or something.
Development.
You can play New South Wales Cup and be on a training trial.
Yeah, he's got to be contract.
Development.
Yeah, max payments to cup. Yeah, he's got a cup contract.
Development contract for Michael Jennings. Is he a developing player?
Mate, you can have that. You can put anyone on a development contract. He's had time away from the game.
Uncle Nick.
I suppose he's got to develop after the last 4 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, he hasn't got those things that helped him anymore. Anything else to add, guys? Like I said,
yeah, quick game. One. Just shout out to RCG for putting Fisher Harris on his ass. Mm. How good's that? Oof.
And now, illegally, according to Penrith fans, lifting elbows.
And now Fisher Harris is out for a few weeks.
Is he?
Yeah, take your own medicine. Suck it up.
All right, let's quickly go through some of these comments and get out of here. It's Sunday night. We'll talk on the Zach Lomax one quickly because obviously we didn't do that podcast on Tuesday night. Look, Parramatta have made an excellent play here. Does anyone know the name of the young 19-year-old we've put interest in, Joel? I don't know who it is. If someone's got the name, I know Josh, you'll probably be all over this one. Hit us in the comments. Yeah, Tamal, that's him. 19-year-old New South Wales Origin centre that plays for St George. Obviously hasn't played first grade yet. Parramatta have put in a big offer to try and get him across to Parramatta. I believe the club's playing tactics. Yeah, look, it'd be a great signing if we can get him. But I think we're trying to force, obviously, the hands of them to release Lomax to us. It's as simple as that. I believe Lomax will be at Parramatta if they can get the Wallabies player they are chasing, St George. If anyone knows his name, I fucking hate rugby union, so you're not going to get it from me. I know they're chasing that rugby union player. So,
what are you talking about?
Is that the one with George the really long chase... name? Well, no, I don't know. He's going to the Roosters.
Yeah. Let's touch on, there's been a few Bevan French comments. I obviously watched the Wigan game the other day and Bevan French was incredible again. Bevan French won't be returning to Parramatta. I know you loved him when he was at Parramatta. The circumstances that Bevan French, for those who don't know, take a memory back, trip down memory lane. Bevan French got the shits. He didn't want to play, couldn't play fullback anymore, got put on the wing, ran the ball twice for 14 metres and made no effort whatsoever. It looked like he didn't. I can't really imagine it, really. It's not Zach Lomax because Zach Lomax is having a go for St George, so... He just didn't want to be there.
So he's basically for the current fans, he's basically Sivo without the muscle.
He looked uninterested. Yes, you're right. Had to be told what to do and didn't get involved. I believe that obviously put a massive strain on him and Arthur's relationship. And doesn't matter how much it's spoken about. Look, I ran into Bevan after the 2022 Grand Final in his Parramatta jersey supporting Parramatta, but there's no way he'll return to Parramatta off Brad Arthur's there. I'll say that.
Was that at the Leagues Club, Adam, after the game?
Yeah, there were not many people there.
We saw him there as well.
Can you bring up Alexander Vu's comment? I actually watched Blake Ferguson play rugby league today for the Newcastle Rebels rep team against the Northern Tigers.
Was he rocks or was he diamonds, Adam?
He got absolutely punished every time he got the ball, but he looked like he was at half pace. The bloke's getting on. I want to give him a shout out because he copped like 80 minutes of abuse from the fans and was smiling with them, was laughing, had a great time, and they were just giving it to him. And after about – his team won 52-0, may I add. At about 40-0, the ball boys come out, and here's Fergo sitting there playing with the ball boys while the bloke's about to take a goal kick. They're about to take a goal kick. He's sitting there passing the ball. So he's obviously still got a love for the game. But I think what I saw today, Blake Ferguson's time in the NRL was definitely
over. We need a strike centre, don't we? So, I mean, why don't we bring back Tacker? You know, he could play a few positions.
Well, he looks fit after doing that hard 74, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I believe he's running around in the Wollongong comp, isn't he? South Coast comp.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where he's at now, but he's down there. Any other comments that take your interest, Joel? You're the one that can float through and bring him up.
Yeah, Brad said no Lomax, please. Just curious as to your reasons why you don't want Lomax, actually. So if you have time to quickly type it through, and we will. Because I've actually, to be honest, it's been about 90-95% Parra fans I've seen in favour of the signing. So it's actually good to get someone from
the other side. I don't think Flano's going to let him go anyway. So he's going to have to stay at St George.
There is a few. There's a few. I put up a post in my Parramatta group the other day about this, and there was a few people said they don't want him. I think people that do these kinds of things, and I'm not saying this is your opinion at all, Brad, but people that they judge players on how they're performing. Now, credit for Lomax where it's due. He clearly doesn't want to be at St George. He doesn't want to be playing the wing. St George were fucking ordinary today, but last week he had an incredible performance, absolutely incredible performance, where it would have been, you know, pretty simple just to go out and do what Bevan French did and throw the game and not want to be there. Brain explosions is the reason, Joel. You got anything to comment on that?
Well, we've got someone called Mike Aceva who has plenty of brain explosions in him. Our back line is full of brain explosions at the best of times. So I think Lomax in a better environment than the Dragons, who have been a shit fight for years now. He comes over, Brad Arthur gives him his talk to, because one thing Brad Arthur is very good at is making players accountable, and you see him how he turns them around from these sorts of environments and what they've come from. I think under the likes of Moses, Gutho, Junior, Reg and stuff, I think Lomax would be huge. Because if you look at the Dragons, apart from Hunt, there's no leaders there either. He gets away with murder. He can do whatever he wants whenever he wants, and that's just how he plays. So I think with some actual proper football players around him that turn up week in, week out, I think he'll be an absolute star. There's no doubt about he continually gets mentioned in the Blues around that sort of arena. He has talent. He has talent galore. We've still got that centre spot open. I don't think Morgan Harper's the future at centre, so we've still got that spot open. And I'd be more than happy to have him slip into that position.
And he wouldn't have to worry about the goal kicking either. So he'd just worry about his game. Yeah. So that's another bonus as well.
You've nailed what I was going to say, Joe. He's got to find that system and fit into our system. And I think with the experience of the players we've got there and what we've built over the years. Look, I will say this, watching the tries we scored, I know there's a lot of crap and a lot of shit that gets spoken about, you know, this connecting as a team crap we did. They do look connected as a team. So if they get him in and make him believe that, an important part. I want you to bring up Cody's comment, or you can bring up John's comment, whatever you want to bring. This is where we need to go with this. You can bring up John's now as well. This is where our club needs to be better. We've thrown a hand by trying to sign one of their young up-and-coming players as well. We need to look at obviously seeing what St George do need. And in my opinion, St George need more forwards than backs. Their back line set's pretty set. Their halves are set with Hunt. Elwood Hostie's not going anywhere. Kyle Flanagan obviously playing 5'8". Do they need a hooker? They've got Little playing hooker there. He's an 80-minute hooker. You know, if we rate Matt Arthur, I know this is going to be unpopular with some fans, but if we rate Matt Arthur as our next hooker so well and Brendan Hans is playing 3 minutes a game, we offer him a swap for Brendan Hans to Zach Lomax. You know, think through that. I'll run you through some of the players that could be considered. You've obviously got – has Kai already left? Has Rodwell gone? Has he been released already, or is he going next year?
No, he's going next year, I believe.
He's going next year? So he's already gone.
I thought there was talk that he was going to go this year. They were talks to go this year.
Oh, maybe.
Potentially.
Yep. Well, there's an option right there. If he is going to go, why don't we offer him the Dragons for the year? You know he's not going to be there next year. You've got Makatoa, who's obviously going next year as well. You know, someone who obviously – it could have to be a player we rate. Fuck Josh.
Who else you got on the list, Adam?
No one.
I think no his one. God hasn't played last two
years. Someone say
better.
Josh, you got me again. I'm crying.
Ogden Makatoa, give him those two. There you go. I'm happy with that. Oh, two for one.
You might have to throw in a 2-1. It obviously clears up some opportunities, like I said, and some space for those young players coming through.
What about Matt Rodwell? Matt Rodwell. I just saw Rodwell's name come up. I said Matty Rodwell.
Matt Dury?
Yeah.
One thing with the cashing, I know a lot of people have commented on the fact that he's 800K at the Dragons or whatever it is. Parramatta, I'm hoping they're smart with his situation. We have a player of quality who wants to get out of his current contract. We will not be offering 800K. We would probably offer him about 650, I reckon, maybe edging up to 700 and say, take it or leave it. And in today's world, with the salary cap continually going up, that is nowhere near as much as a lot of people probably think it is. that is the way I reckon the club will go about it. We actually have the power with this situation because there's a player who clearly wants to leave a club. We're on the front foot with the situation.
We've been better in the last few years about money and contracts.
Yeah, we've counted. We have. We've got this system of not paying overs to a player, but it's probably cost us some in the long run. When you think about it, like we haven't even entered the race for some of the good players that have been available because we know we're not going to get the money, spend the money. And look, if we'd won a comp, it'd be working, but we haven't won a comp, so maybe we do need to spend. I'm not saying he's worth 800K. Don't get me wrong. I don't think there's many centres in the game. I'd pay Manu 800K. I can't think of anyone else I'd really pay 800K, to be honest. Like, there's probably not anyone. Tango? No, they've given you IC. I think that's risky as well. Like, he hasn't really done that much. He's obviously boasted on the scene, but for me, 800K, I say Manu, he's been doing it for years. He's been consistently playing well for years. You know, Latrell Mitchell, I wouldn't even give him 800K because he's not consistently turning up. Like, I think the last player that probably demanded 800K as a centre was probably Jennings. It was on about 650-700, wasn't he? I know he's on a bit more at the Roosters, but... yeah, look, we could talk about that or not. We could talk about what Parramatta do with their contracts and everything like that, but... And, yeah, you're right, Brad doesn't have complete control. There's obviously some things going on behind the scenes at Parramatta that have been going on for a long time. But I guess as fans, all we want is to see results. We don't give a fucking shit about what goes on. We get our vote. We get our members' vote, obviously. For the committee and stuff.
Barbecue.
I'm looking forward to being at the club on the weekend and seeing the vibes I get from.
Oh, that's right.
People.
You're going to be coming down on the weekend, aren't you, Joel?
Yeah, just hope there's no CEO event on upstairs, Joel, because you won't be welcome like me and Troy weren't last year. That's for sure. All right, look, we could continue talking all night. We've got a show on Tuesday. Thanks everyone for viewing. We'll be on about 8 o'clock on Tuesday night, I believe. So. Hop on 8 o'clock, keep it going. We'll obviously preview the game coming up against Manly this week. As I said, if you haven't got your tickets, I'll be getting on and get those tickets. I had a look earlier and all the good sections are starting to sell out. Should be a sellout Sunday afternoon footy. The old 80s rivalry, how good. So
two home games in a row too. So
yeah, I believe it's not confirmed yet. I don't know. We haven't spoken to Hayden and Matt. Hayden and Matt, if you're still in the comments, let us know you're still alive. I believe we're going to do some kind of live... We're going to do some kind of live thing on Sunday before the game with Joel coming down for an appearance from Queensland. So
we're going to do that at the Leagues Club, are we?
Yeah,
we'll have a catch up.
We might try and set up outside the Leagues Club in that outside area. I'll bring the Mac and we can jump on and do something.
Sorry, Alex, League of Inches. We've still got no money behind us. There's no private jet.
You're flying, mate.
Normal class, just in front of the toilet. That's how we fly. I'm a man of the people.
what you do behind that toilet is totally up to you, Joel. But keep it classy. I just want to highlight too that my $170,000 multi didn't get up, so we won't be going to Vegas or in the box this weekend, guys. Unfortunately, but
that was this week. Maybe next week it might get up.
Yeah, I've got a few more weeks. I actually got 6 out of 8 try scorers in my safe bet, one worth $3,000, and. End up tipping 5 out of 8, so I'm glad Parramatta weren't the ones that cost me. But anyway, that's it. That's all we've got time for. See you Tuesday night.
No worries.
I'll try and get over the loss by then.
Yeah, easy. See you Tuesday. Thanks for listening.